He is an adept of the suicide bombing theory and has been describing things to suit it. I had goaded him into going to look at the mosque that afternoon. The concrete underfoot was unbroken, he proclaimed when we returned, and he repeated the assertion to the assembled company in Kakriz. It was perfectly flat, he said, sweeping his hand out in a gesture meant to brook no opposition. No way a bomb could have been planted. The kneeling bodyguard contradicted him. The ground was not unbroken, he said, glancing at me for corroboration. I gave it. And so we shamed the investigations officer. In a rage at his disloyalty and his swaggering incompetence, I stared broiling embers at him all evening. The bodyguards start hauling bedding from the mud brick house. They arrange pallets for themselves in a square in front of the door. Off to the side, a few yards away, they spread a straw mat for me and place it on a cotton-filled mattress and an overstuffed pillow. Two of them, remembering their training, stake out a position by the opposite wall. No one slept much that night. The welcome unconsciousness would not last. In the morning, things would be just as bad. I marvel at the sharp stars, at the Milky Way stretched across the sky like a thick, illuminated cloud. Before too long, I notice I can make out the lines of the outhouse hugging the compound wall a dozen yards away. I get up and make my way there, then come back and pin my thick blanket underneath me against the desert chill. It will be hot soon. This is a luxury. But I was right. Things are no better this morning. They are worse. The huge anvil that plunged down onto my heart the instant I awoke won't be budged. It's cutting off my breathing. We're going to lose him today. Forever. Shortly, the others stir, call out to me. Someone comes with a thermos of tea, a metal box of sugar, a spoon, a stack of glasses, 4 or 5 sheets of flat bread. We gather at the bodyguard's square of pallets.